welcome to r/smut, where we find the spiciest stories that Reddit has to offer and read it to you, horny little rats. It's time to r/smut up and listen.
Hey, it's Charlotte.
Hey, it's Riley.
And we're back with more Reddit erotica.
Bow, bow. Hey. Welcome back. Sorry, that was weird.
And if you're listening to this on your normal podcasting platform, head on over to Patreon. We do this every Tuesday.
Do it, bitches. I'll take us away. And this comes from Deleted. Fun. And it was written 6 years ago. Exciting.
A classic.
I know. Truly. And it says, The Dildo, an epic erotic poem. And the only tag is female. Love it.
That's it. That's all you need.
It was a hot summer evening, stuck alone in my house. I was savagely horny, about to rip off my blouse, wanting a man to come take my young soul, to lust for and relish each one of my holes. I ached with excitement. I ached with desire. My pussy was gushing. My clit was on fire. I started to daydream and imagine my savior, a man who could tame me, correct my behavior. I lowered my hand down and started to feel. It felt so amazing. I wanted to squeal. Faster and faster, I rubbed my own clit. Imagine a man whose dick wouldn't quit. Yes, girl.
Look at Shakespeare.
I know. The feelings got bigger. The feelings got tense. I panted with vigor as I got lost in a trance. But something was missing. Something's not right. I needed a penis to help in my plight. I didn't want kissing, and I'm not one to suck. I just want a big dick. I want to get fucked. So I turned to my nightstand. What do I see? A big fucking dildo just staring at me.
This is like some fucked up Dr. Seuss shit.
Literally. This is gold. I love it. With juicy soft tits still dangling out, I insert the fake cock and try not to shout. Over and over, I thrust deep inside, a feeling so pure, I feel like I died. The better it is, the more desperate I get. My only clear thought is, oh fuck, I'm so wet. I grab my left breast as I feel it encroaching. Holy shit, I exclaim, the peak is approaching. The thrusts are so loud that it sounds like a drum, but I couldn't care less as I finally come. I waited so long, I waited so late for this plastic dong to help me ejaculate. I squirted with vigor, lost total control. I couldn't believe that it was my little hole. I laid there in silence thinking, wow, what a show, basking and relishing in my own afterglow. All thanks to my dearest, I got past my plateau. I came hard as ever, thanks to my dildo. The end.
I loved that.
That was a treat. A true treat.
More erotic poems, please.
Yes. More. Yes. Somebody commented and said, nice. Glad you enjoyed yourself. Yeah, she did.
So happy for you.
Yeah.
And this one comes from Pleasure Girl 23. And it is called My Female 23 Life Nonfiction as a Pleasure Girl for a Wealthy Family. And Riley said the comments on this at the end are absolutely batshit. So we will dive into those after.
Yes. Nonfiction also.
A real life pleasure girl.
Wow.
Hello, internet world. My name is Sarah, and I am a pleasure girl for a wealthy family after having replied to an adult job ad on a website that I won't name 4 years ago. It was Craigslist. I know it.
100%.
I wanted to share how I ended up where I am. For those wondering, I live in Eastern Europe.
Okay.
The post I replied to, it was stated that details would be given in person. Wanting to know more, I arranged a time to meet with the poster. One day later, I met with an older man, let's call him Brad, at a coffee shop. He was a perfect gentleman and bought me a drink. After which, we went for a walk in the park where he gave me the details of the job. He wanted to hire me to be his family's pleasure girl. I would be expected to see his and his family's sexual desires whenever they wanted. I was also expected to be naked 24/7. His family, too, that's absolutely wild. Hopefully not biological family, because that would be gross.
That would be gross. But what if they're just like, it's like a close-knit group of friends, but they call each other family, you know?
Just a group of bros passing a girl around?
Yeah, they're brothers.
Sure, but like dad and son or like blood brothers, cousins, aunts and uncles, I wouldn't like that.
Would be a bit odd. No.
Yeah. And I'm going to be hypercritical of this if it truly is nonfiction.
Okay, comments.
In return, he promised me my own room in his large Victorian-era manor home, food on the table, and a very generous monthly payment of $100,000. You know what? I am fucking father and son for $100,000 a month. Yes.
I will do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah. It seemed too good to be true, but I accepted without hesitation and asked for a week to clear out my flat. He quickly told me not to worry about it and to give him the address. He'd send movers over to get my stuff. I was super excited, having been orphaned at 13 years old. Oh, sad. I was jumping at the chance to live with and be accepted by a family again, even if it was under strange circumstances. Yeah, this is way different than having an actual family.
Yeah.
She said, I'm excited to move in with this family and fuck them because it'll fill the void in my heart from being an orphan.
I know. My new family that I fuck.
On the ride to his place, we had a long talk about my sexual history and any health concerns. Once we arrived, he showed me to my new room. To say that I was astonished was an understatement. The room was luxurious and even had its own ensuite. Brad asked me if I was absolutely sure this is what I wanted. He also told me that if I wanted out, all I'd have to do is let him know. Brad escorted me to what would become my room. He explained to me that once I showered and cleaned myself up, I was expected to stay naked from that moment going forward. He explained that by entering the service of his family, I will no longer be allowed to wear clothing and that I must allow my body to be touched however any family member saw fit. There was no obligation on my part. I could easily say no and turn around and walk out. But I didn't. I simply nodded and said I understand and agreed to the terms. You can't wear clothes, though. But $100,000.
Yeah, $100,000 a month.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
But you're living there, too.
I don't know. That's a lot of money. That's like $1 million a year, right?
It's over. I mean, after taxes, yeah. It's probably less than. But you can't leave.
Yeah, but she can leave at any time.
Yeah, but it's not like a 9-to-5 where you get to clock out at the end of the day and go spend your money.
I'm sure there's exceptions. She's not a prisoner.
She's just a prisoner. He smiled and just before he left, asked me to join his family for dinner that evening to introduce me to everyone. He also encouraged me to explore the manor after I'd gotten cleaned up and said he'd send Richard to give me a tour of the estate. I explored my room for a few minutes before jumping in the shower. I must have spent at least 20 minutes in the shower. That's not a very long time. That's
no, like it's
a
not.
Regular shower for a lot of people.
Pointless detail, girl.
When I finished, I dried myself off and was working on my hair when I heard a knock at my door. I answered the door and in front of me stood a naked man no taller than I am, 5'8", slim build. This must have been Richard. He smiled before introducing himself and offered a handshake. Okay, short king. I am Richard, the pleasure boy of the house. I smiled, shaking his hand. There's another one. They have a pleasure boy and a pleasure girl.
Yeah, they're like, hey, if you're not into women, here's a boy and vice versa.
Yay. I'm Sarah, the new pleasure girl. I was asked to give you the lay of the land, so to speak. Are you ready? Richard extended his arm like a gentleman. I gladly accepted and we set off on my tour. Richard held my hand almost as if we were star-crossed lovers. How long have you been here, Richard? 3 years. Oh my God, 3 years. I can't imagine. And you've been naked for all of those 3 years? Richard smiled. Yes, I have. When you have multiple women to service, it makes things a lot easier. We rounded a corner. This is the library. He opened the door to what looked like a fully functional library. It was staffed. There were about 10 people in the library looking for books, studying, and so on. This does sound like a big old load of bullshit, though. This doesn't sound real.
Yeah, it doesn't sound real at all. And now it's starting to sound very, like, culty.
Yes. Or it sounds like maybe this is a dream that you had, and you're like, I dreamed in real life, so this story can be classified as nonfiction.
Yeah. Also, like, part of me is wondering if, like, English isn't their first language and they didn't mean nonfiction. Like, maybe they meant, like, I don't know. Because I'm like, this isn't real.
No. We'll see if they double down in the comments, though.
Yeah.
This way, Richard led me to the main counter where a woman was sitting. The woman looked at both of us and grinned. May I help you? I believe you have a contract for my colleague here, Richard remarked. Yes, I believe so. The woman motioned for me to follow her. I followed her to a desk where she pulled out a brown envelope from a desk drawer. She pulled out a document and opened it up. Please sign on the yellow highlighted marks. I signed on the lines where I was told. As I was reading through some of the details, I felt a hand touching me. The librarian had her hand on me almost as if she was studying it and me. Excuse me, please take your hand off my body. She laughed before letting go. Yeah, assert yourself. Before leaving, I had to ask a question. No one batted an eyelash when Richard and I walked in. Everyone is in suits or casual wear, yet we walk in naked and no one reacts. We are all staff members. Despite some people being uncomfortable with seeing naked people all day, we are all being paid to live and work here. Are there any rules I need to be aware of? Plenty. By signing the contract, you agree to the following. 1. You already know you must be naked 24/7. No exceptions. 2. You are never to give any pleasure to the house staff. You are never to allow the house staff to touch your body. 2! 3. The understanding that your body is no longer your own. Your body belongs to the family now. 2! They own your body. 2! 4. The pleasure girl and the pleasure boy are not allowed to have sex with each other, which relates to a point I have already made. Simply, the family owns your body. The news that I would no longer own my own body worried me a little. What do you mean? I no longer own my own body? 2? The woman quickly rebuked, "You have agreed to provide the services to our Lord's family, and these are a part of the terms." I got up and left. I thanked the librarian and went on my way rejoining Richard. I looked at Richard with a slight panicked look. I whispered into his ear, "My body no longer belongs to me." Richard quickly hushed me. "Hold on, it's nothing horrible, I assure you. They won't do anything to cause you pain or discomfort. If someone does something that causes you pain, or if that was to happen, you can call off the encounter. You are not powerless here." Richard stood in front of me and took my hand, looking me in the eye. "Sarah, I will make a deal with you. Stay here with me for the next 6 years, and we can build up our wealth and move in together to start a family. We'll have more than enough to live comfortably."
Yeah.
I smiled, agreeing with Richard's proposed idea. Start a family. You just met him 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, and of course you'll live comfortably. You're each making like $1 million a fucking year. Of course you will.
Yeah, why do you guys need to marry each other?
Yeah, you guys will be fine on your own.
We continued the tour where I was able to see all the wings of the estate, the helipad with a helicopter sitting there, shooting range, car garage. Ooh, a car garage. Mad luxurious.
Wait, aren't all garages car garages?
Yeah, that's luxury. I wanted to see the helicopter, so Richard and I went over to take a look. The helicopter was marvelous. I opened the door to the cockpit and sat in the pilot's chair. Just then, I hear a man's voice shout, "Excuse me, what are you doing in there? Get out!" My head darts over to see a man wearing a pilot's uniform. "I'm sorry, I was just checking out the controls. I used to fly." "You are?" "Sarah, pleasure girl of the house." The pilot scoffed. "No wonder you are naked." "Yeah, I would assume she was naked because she had to be, not because she was just some random girl that was naked. Also, she's with Richard, who's also naked."
"Yeah, also, wait, Sarah used to fly? So, used to fly planes, Sarah. Let me get that straight."
"Or helicopters."
"Jesus Christ. Yeah, this shit's not real." "Oh, wait, the way I'm saying that makes it sound like a woman pilot is like unheard of."
"A woman and a pilot? Yeah, right.
Okay, liar."
"Next, you're going to tell me that women can be doctors?"
"Oh my God, good grief."
"No, but like if you fly a plane, go get a job as a pilot, not as a pleasure girl."
"I was just about to say, respect yourself." Whoa. That's not what I meant. But yeah, what? Then you wouldn't have to be naked.
You could leave at any time.
But, like, maybe this is what she wants to do.
Maybe this is her calling. I don't know.
And maybe this is higher salary than a pilot. I don't know what pilots make.
I think a commercial pilot can make, like, $300,000 a year.
Ugh, God.
Yeah.
I got into the wrong business.
I don't want to fly a plane.
No, God, no. You have so many people's lives in your hands. Scary.
"Can I take her up for a quick flight?" The pilot nodded. "Just bring it back in one piece." He didn't even ask for any credentials. He's like, "Yeah, take the helicopter."
Yeah. "Just don't crash it."
Yeah. I looked at Richard and nodded. "Let's go." Richard got into the right side seat. I got into the left side. I fiddled with the controls, started the engine. We both put on our headsets. How much time before dinner? Okay, I am not getting in the passenger seat of a helicopter with someone who just says, "I used to fly."
They're all very trusting.
Yeah. They're like, what's the worst that could happen? Rest in peace, Oliver Tree.
Ah, Kobe Bryant.
How much time before dinner? Not for another 4 hours. We have time. I did one last check of my flight systems and checked my fuel level. I have 90 minutes of fuel. I strapped myself in and ran up my engine. Once it was ready, I pulled back on the joystick and increased the power. We took off. He scratched his head. Honestly, I don't know what was funnier, the fact that he was watching a naked woman pilot his chopper or a naked man in the next seat. We flew around for 30 minutes as I didn't want to use up all the fuel. We returned to the helipad. Richard escorted me back to my room where he bid me farewell. See you at dinner, Sarah. With about a couple hours until dinner, I figured I would gather up all the clothing I had arrived with and all the extra I had and get rid of it. Why? She's like, I'm burning these.
She's like, I already know I'm going to be here forever.
I disposed of my clothing in short order, making sure not to leave anything to chance. Later that evening, it was getting close to 6 p.m., I decided to make my way to the dining room for dinner. I left the comfort of my new room and began exploring my surroundings. I felt out of place walking the halls next to the manor completely naked. It also felt extremely exhilarating feeling the air blow over my body. I spent about 20 minutes. Okay. She spent about 20 minutes. Doing what? We don't know, but she spent it.
We don't know. Mystery.
I eventually found my way to the dining room. I opened the door to enter. There were 10 people at the table, 7 women and 3 men. Ah, Sarah, come in and please sit down, Brad called out to me. I made my way to the table and took a seat and looked around. To my shock, 6 out of the 7 women at the table were completely naked. The other woman was dressed in a 3-piece suit. The only man at that table was Brad, sporting a 3-piece suit. Lots of 3-piece suits, power suits, power suits. Sarah, I'd like to introduce you to my family. This is Victoria, my wife. She was the only one dressed. My daughters Valerie, naked, Veronica, naked, and Vanessa, naked, Bridget, naked, Maria, naked, Abigail, naked. This is my son Eli, naked, and you've already met Richard, naked. That's fucking foul. Those are your children?
Yeah, why are all your children naked? How old are they?
They're adults because Richard is a pleasure boy. No, Richard isn't a son. Richard is a pleasure boy.
Yeah, he's a pleasure boy.
Okay. Yuck. I blush with a big smile. Nice to meet you all. They each get up to come over and greet me. Eli shakes my hand. Victoria gives me a motherly hug and a kiss on the cheek. Valerie, Bridget, and Abigail give me sisterly hugs. Veronica hugs me tight and kisses me passionately. Vanessa and Maria also hug me tightly and give me passionate kisses. And you're all naked? In front of their parents who are not naked?
So weird.
Once dinner is served, I can't help having a curious question answered. Brad, may I ask why everyone here is naked except for you and your wife? Brad nods to Vanessa to answer. She quickly speaks up. It was a freedom of choice decision for us. We have always been far more comfortable naked than we have been wearing clothing, so we all stopped wearing clothing as much as possible. I think I can speak for all of us when I say we all absolutely hate wearing clothing. I look around the table, seeing the nods of approval from the other siblings. So I have to know, what about your education, your hobbies, and work and so forth? How did you all become so well-educated and knowledgeable? Online school.
Yeah.
Vanessa looks around the table before commenting. Everything we need is provided here on the grounds of the estate, from our teachers and tutors. Even our driving lessons are provided here, so we have no need to go anywhere. I look around the table, noticing all of the siblings nodding in agreement. And when you have friends visiting, Valerie chimes in. All of our friends are among the house staff, but we do have a few friends from the outside world that visit us. We do let them know ahead of time what to expect. I raise an eyebrow. Has anyone of the house staff ever complained about everyone in the family being naked? Some do, but we tell each staff member that complains that they are more than welcome to leave. How long has it been since any of you have worn clothing? Valerie answered. I am 41 and stopped wearing clothing at age 11. Gross.
Oh my God.
I looked around the table at each of the siblings. They were smiling. Each of them answered the question with shocking similarities. The conversations continued throughout dinner. When dinner finally wrapped up, everyone departed for their respective rooms. The women congregated by the door. The sisters beckoned me over. We are going to the summer house. Want to come with us? I wanted so much to go with them. I can't. I have to remain at the estate in order to be naked. Oh, no.
Dang it.
The girl smiled in a reassuring way. Don't worry about that. We are all just as naked as you are, so it's no problem. How are we getting there? I asked curiously. Vanessa smiled. Helicopter. I am a pilot. Okay, two women pilots.
Yeah, super unbelievable.
Okay, we all make our way to the helipad just by the courtyard. The end.
What a weird fucking story. Like, look at the comments.
Yeah, the first one is nonfiction. What a fucking joke. You're 23 years old. You can pilot a helicopter and another pilot let you use his with no idea who you were. I want to see if the poster replied to any of the comments. Nope. She's not doubling down.
No. But look, anybody that like complimented it, people were like, downvote, downvote.
Yeah, I'm going to call bullshit on this story.
Yeah. Somebody said, this is by far one of the stupidest things I've ever read on this sub. And that's saying a lot. That is saying a lot because I know for a fact we've read dumber things.
Yeah, but none of them claim to be true.
That's true. I really don't know if the person meant that. You know what I mean?
Well, it's what they said.
That is true. And this next one comes from Chin Pokomoni. That's what it says. And the title is Fucked by Date Pits. Whatever that means.
Yeah.
I need to use the washroom and my asshole is really puckered up from being constipated. I see a bag full of dates and eat a few. They don't work and I take a nap. The dates see me fall asleep and make a plan for revenge. The dates see me fall asleep and make a plan for revenge for their friends. Their end goal is to fuck me in the ass.
Captain, oh, no.
Not the dates. No. Captain Date struggles to get his pit out of the date. Upon pushing and pulling through, he succeeds and other dates follow his lead. Soon, a bunch of date pits form a line and approach my bed. I sleep without pants, so once the pits reach my bedside, they start inserting themselves into my ass. No lube, nothing. A bunch of date pits climb on each other to create a dildo-style date pit device. Without mercy, the 6-inch-long, 2-inch-wide date pit dildo starts ravaging me whole. It says me whole, so
me whole!
Me whole! I start moaning while dreaming. I am dreaming of fucking someone and not knowing that I am being fucked by fruit. The date pit dildo keeps pushing and pulling, stretching my anus. I never had anal sex performed on me. I finally woke up screaming in ecstasy, hugging onto a pillow. I turned around seeing a bunch of date pits. I rushed to the washroom and expelled body waste.
Ew.
I'm not tight anymore and in a healthier state of mind. I seek new adventures with carrots and cucumbers. The end.
What the fuck was that?
Yeah. Excuse me? He's like, I seek more vegetables and fruits in my future.
But you're not constipated anymore.
Yeah, hell yeah. Love a date.
A sentient date, though?
Yeah. But he's just going to go fuck some carrots and cucumbers next?
Yeah, I'm sure people out there actually do that, though. And this next one comes from Queen of Cream, and it's called Monster Office Slime. And the tags are male 23, female 999, monster girl, slime girl, slimy sex, body transformation, cream pie, blowjob, multiple orgasms, foot job, tongue job, bent over desk, doggy style, boob job.
Damn.
I walked into the office today to the weirdest sight. There were two Danicas talking to each other. Two of the well-dressed, short, stacked goblin ladies were having a conversation and laughing. I walked up to them to find out what was going on. Hey, Michael, meet Allie, she gestured to the other Danica. She's a friend of mine. I put a hand out. Nice to meet you. She put her hand into mine. Then her skin started to bubble and morph into a whirlwind of multicolored gel until she turned into her normal form. She was a cute, short woman made of sheen purple slime. While she lacked colors, her facial definition was clear enough to see her big, cute eyes and soft smile. Her naked form was soft and curvy with big breasts that jiggled with every movement. She was a bigger girl, but that just made her cuter, with soft curves and a delicious-looking body. So what do you do, Miss Allie? She tilted her head and opened her mouth. What came out was a weird liquid sound, like slow rain falling on sand. That's a weird-ass voice.
Yeah.
I blinked in confusion. She's here for you. Can we go to the office for a moment? I agreed, and we made our way to Danica's office. She closed the door behind us. She locked it with a click. She turned around and gave a nod to Allie. So, Michael, what do you know about slimes? Not much, if I'm being honest. Allie's really the first slime I've met. Well, there's a reason. They tend to stay in the countryside to avoid people, but some do find themselves among us. A lot of them are scared of people. Back during the unification, people would capture them for personal use. She sounded disgusted. So why is she here then? I asked. Well, Allie is a special kind of slime. Most of them can feed on moisture, water, sugar, stuff like that. But she's a rare breed and she needs sexual fluids to feed.
Oh.
Yeah, oh.
In the workplace?
We don't know what kind of office this is, though. It doesn't sound very traditional.
No, it doesn't. You're right.
Right. And well, normally she comes to me once a month, but I'm not able to do it right now. And I think you could help her. Is that an order, ma'am? She laughed. You'd be doing me a huge favor. Well, I think I can do that. She ran over and hugged me. Thank you so much. This takes such a huge load off my shoulders. Just be gentle with her. I ruffled my boss's hair. You got it, boss. She ran to her desk and grabbed her suitcase. Thank you, Michael. I'll be back tomorrow. Take care of my girl. She headed out of the office, leaving me and Allie alone. I turned to her and gave her a smile. So, what do you want to do? She sloshed her way over. From the front, in her true form, you could see a tiny glowing red crystal floating in the middle of her chest. She just sloshes over, just whoosh, whoosh.
I'm just picturing like that one blob on Monsters University. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah, I could see that.
The big blue one? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm picturing.
She smiled before falling down to her knees and opening her mouth. I obliged her by shedding my clothes until I was completely naked. She jiggled in anticipation before taking the base of my cock on her cool, slimy hand. Her slime felt weird, but a good type of weird. She began running her slimy fingers against my shaft, coaxing it to full mast. She smiled before opening her mouth. A long, slimy tongue began wrapping itself around my cock 3-4 times until it coiled my entire shaft. Her tongue wriggled and writhed around my shaft, pumping it up and down. The side-to-side motion mixed with the up-and-down pumping was amazing. Her eyes stayed locked to mine as she worked against my turgid flesh. I could feel my orgasm begin to churn within me. She could sense it, and over her head, down onto my cock. I was completely enveloped by her cool, slimy insides, swirled around me, coaxing my cum out. I moaned deeply as I shot a huge load of my white essence into her. The pure white liquid swirled inside her down to her glowing red heart. She popped off my cock and gave me a smile. My cock was still rock hard. She noticed. She pushed me over to a nearby chair and made me sit. She put her breasts on my leg and gave me a look. Bigger? I said warily. She smiled and her body began to shift. More slime went into her breast, expanding them from nice palm-sized orbs to massive melons.
Ugh, I wish I could do that.
I would shrink them. Perfect, I said. She pressed her breasts against the sides of my cock. She began pumping them up and down against my flesh. Each pass sent waves of jiggle through her slimy flesh. It felt really good. Her jiggly orbs enveloped my cock entirely, drowning me in a sea of pleasurable flesh. I bucked my hips in time with her pumping. Her breasts sent out wet slaps into the air around us. It felt good, too good. My cock began twitching within her slimy prison.
Ew.
I bucked even harder into her, trying to feel as much of her soft pillows as possible. I groaned as I began to shoot another massive load into the air. Droplets of my cum dropped down into her pillows, onto her hair, even onto her face. The white fluid soaked into her skin and made its way to her core. I was breathing heavily, feeling drained. She swirled herself into a standing position. She looked brighter in color, her definitions more defined. Her curves are sexier. She smiled before lifting up a leg and morphing the end to a rather well-defined foot. I think her slime was keeping my erection strong. She slammed her foot down. I flinched, thinking she was trying to kick me. But instead, my cock penetrated into the bottom of her soul. Ew. I moaned. Her slime swirled around my cock as she pumped her foot up and down my shaft. Why was her slime so wonderfully pleasant? It felt immaculate. Seeing my cock inside of her leg, pumping me as she went, was odd, but worth every second. Another orgasm blasted inside her, more white cream into her beating heart. She released me from her gooey prison and sloshed over to Danica's desk, presenting her curvy ass to me. She shook it while looking back toward me. I think I could do one more.
Wow.
Yeah. I stood up and stalked my way to her supple ass. I didn't waste time. I took my cock in hand and pushed it where a pussy would be. Ew. I pushed myself as deep into her as I could, allowing her fantastic slime to envelop me fully. I began stroking myself inside her, pushing deep into her false womb. It gripped me harder and more pleasurably than anything else she's done. Feelers seemed to stroke me as I pumped into her. Fuck, she felt good. I could do this all day. And I tried to. For what felt like hours, I slammed my hips against her soft, slimy nethers. I could see my cock inside her. With every pass into her, I could see her heart glowing brighter and dimming as I pulled out. My orgasm was fast and hard. I began feverishly slamming my hips against hers. Her heart's glowing became much more erratic. I let out a roar as I shot a giant load deep into her. Her crystal heart glowed a brilliant crimson as I did. Ripples shot through her jiggly flesh. After a moment, I collapsed on my ass, gasping for air. I looked up to see a strange sight. Allie's purple skin was slowly turning white. She sloshed over, knocking me over, and holding me in a cuddle. She felt warm. The end.
Wow.
Beautiful. A tale as old as time.
You know. What a good one. That's cutesy.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode.
Yeah. Head on over to fucking Patreon. We do this every Tuesday.